How neat to have a God that invites us to seek him. And that's really, you know, what he does call, what he does ask for us to do. And he has opened the way, the door for us to do that. And we can do that this morning and anytime, any place. And how neat that is, a God that loves us and wants to have relationship with us. It's just good to be in his presence. We're always in his presence. It's good to be in the presence of the body of Christ here too, and just thankful for each one of you that are here. As I think of this 4th of July weekend, and then been talking about the spirit and that, I just am thankful, been having some contact with some of the people in Lebanon again and Syria this last little bit, and boy, we take the freedoms we have in this country so for granted. And I think any place around the world you could go, we are just a blessed people in so, so many ways. We are very free, both physically and materialistically. Our needs are all met. We have free time, which is a luxury that is not all over the world, that they would have that, or the abundance. We have the ability to make choices, go places, do things. Any one of us have the freedom. We could hop in our car and take off driving as far as we'd want. And nobody's going to stop us. Nobody, well, unless you're going too fast. But, there's just so many freedoms that we enjoy and we take for granted in this country. And we need to be thankful for that, and also realize those freedoms are not necessarily free. And so that we have a responsibility as citizens in this country to be involved in our country, be involved in our government, be informed. And maybe most of all, the most powerful thing we can do is pray for our country. And just to cry out to God and to be seeking him. But realizing with all of this freedom, all of the blessings, all of the fullness that we have, the advantages we have, there are many in this country round and among us that still are not free. They are living in bondage to their desires. They're living in bondage to their fears. Sometimes they're living in bondage to their past, that they just can't break through of, or choices they've made in the past that are still following them. They're captive to sin. The scripture gives a lot of examples of that. Addicted to different things in different areas of their lives where they are not free. They want to break through free. They want to overcome these things, but they struggle as much as they can, work as hard as they want, buy the books, go to the counselors, all of those things. They really have trouble being free of those things, and that freedom can be very elusive. We're slaves to sin and not always free to choose what we want to do because of that. And so just looking at the freedom we have in the Spirit, Galatians 5:1, starting there, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. And here again, we're talking much more of this internal bondage that we are under. As citizens of this country, we're all pretty free. We're all living pretty comfortably. But we don't all live in that freedom that we should have, in the spiritual freedom of that. But Christ has set us free. That's in the past tense. It's already been done. We don't have to wait for that to happen. We don't have to hope that that's going to happen. It has already taken place. The victory has already been won. And what we're called to do in this verse then is to keep standing firm in that. And again, in Ephesians, the spiritual warfare against the enemy and his plans and his minions that do his will, we're not told that we've got to defeat the enemy. We're told to stand firm against his schemes, because the victory's already been won. The enemy has already been defeated. So with that, just called to stand firm, and we do that by faith. And the warning here is not to set free in Christ, but not to fall back into subjection again to a yoke of slavery. And we just, the world is always there. There's always those pressures. There's always that trap. We live in the tension of the relationship. We live, walk by faith, not by sight. And so daily we need to be renewed. Daily we need to be refreshing ourselves in the Spirit to walk that way. Because in the tensions of our lives, our natural default is always to fall back to the old patterns. And the world is always there, surrounded by that pressure to not live in that freedom, but fall back into those old patterns of our life that are not free, where we're living in bondage to different things. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty." And so again, we see that this victory, this freedom that we're in, is a life in the Spirit. It comes from the Lord. It's not necessarily going to be all the external things, in that we might still struggle with some of them, but we can have an internal peace and the Spirit dwelling in us that nothing can take away, nothing can lose. Doesn't matter the disaster that comes. It doesn't matter the afflictions that we might be facing. We can know God is in control. We can have that presence of that Spirit in us, and that Spirit gives us liberty. And I just like that word. I've been thinking about that. A little bit different than freedom, I think, as we look to that. We have a liberty that we're not just stuck in the law. We're not just stuck in the rules or the performance based of that. There's not just one way you have to live. You're not just stuck in this rudder routine of this is the right thing to do and you've got to do it. And the Spirit will help you. There's a wideness to that liberty, a freedom of choices, kind of an attitude to explore, to grow, to take chances. The freedom we have in Christ is not limited, but it just gets bigger. It expands as you learn to walk in that. To be creative, we use that word sometimes. Well, let's take liberties. Let's expand things a little bit to not just be, oh no, this is the rules. Here's where we're stuck. This is what we've got to do. But the freedom to explore different things. The world is always changing. Our lives are always changing. We go through different seasons, don't we? And we have that freedom to adapt and to learn to walk in that. And that's exciting. In Christ, in the Spirit, there is more than one way. We don't all look the same. We don't all have to even think the same. Or all of those things. There's a freedom. And we see that as we're going to go on in the Spirit. The uniqueness of the different gifts that He gives us. The different experiences that the Spirit gives us. We are not just cookie cutters. All looking the same. There's this liberty that we have. This excitement to that. The uniqueness and the diversity that we have. And that's what makes the church and the body of Christ so exciting and so dynamic and gives it much of its power, as we all have something to give and something unique to invest and to give to the body of Christ and the rest of the world. Logan, I'm going to skip that next verse and go down to Galatians 4, 5, and 7. So that he might, speaking of Jesus, so that he might redeem us who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons, because you are sons. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. We are redeemed here in this verse. We're brought back, bought back. We're given value. The barrier's been removed. The price has been saved. We are sons and daughters. And again, that is a past tense. That's a fact. That's been done. Therein lies our salvation. that we're rescued. It said the verse from Colossians, the missionary there, we're rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved son. And talks in there about the inheritance that we have, the forgiveness of sins. So we have that. And because of that, then we're saved. And following that, then again, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, where we cry out, Abba, Father. The Abba, Father is the little kid when his dad comes home from work, drops what he's doing and runs to give his dad a hug. Just that spirit of, oh, good dad, I'm so glad to see you. I am so, and the little kid that knows his dad's going to pick him up and swing him around and give him a big hug and be so glad to see him. Now, that's not always the case in our earthly realm, is it? Our earthly homes, but that is God's heart for us all the time, that we come running to him. Again, he wants us to seek him and delights in that. And as we seek him, he's not hard to find. He's eager to be found if we will take the time to do that. And as we do that, then we find out how good he is, how amazing he is, and we fall in love with him. So because you are sons, it says here, then he has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts. And again, there's the spirit and the spirit of Christ. We talked about that last week some in a little bit different. We tend to see the spirit as something else, as something that's going to raise us up, something that's going to give us gifts and power and authority and all of those things. And the spirit of Christ is a spirit of being the servant of all. It's a spirit of laying down our lives, is seeing other people more important than ourselves. And that's an important distinction there. Again, the spirit of the Son in our hearts that cries out, Abba, Father, that realizes it's not about me, that I'm just a little kid and I'm in desperate need of the Father's provision, the Father's protection, the Father's power, and that I can do all things because of the Father. And again, it's the little kid helping his dad mow the lawn or things like that. He's not doing much of the work. Might even be getting in the way and slowing the father down when the little boy wants to help his dad. But the dad just appreciates and loves that and knows the young child is growing and learning as he does that and is willing to take the time and the sacrifice to give him for that. So we cry out, Abba, Father, and you're no longer a slave, but a son. And when we get to that place, then there's that place where we begin to hunger for his presence, hunger to worship him, just the longing of our heart to spend more time with him, just looking forward to that time in the day when I can get away in the quiet time. Just long for him in the busyness of the day to know his presence. I've got one of my playlists, about 4 or 5 songs, and I tend to put it on in the morning and it plays all day long and put it on repeat. And this goes over, and all of the songs on that playlist are just a longing for the Father. A longing to see him, a longing to be in that relationship. And some of them kind of go to that lostness without him. Where would I be without Jesus? And there is the spirit again, just the spirit he's placed in us. The deep calls to deep, it says. His spirit longing and drawing our spirit to him. And we see that we can no longer be content or satisfied just with our old world. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Hebrews gives us warnings. If you've tasted the goodness of God, if you've seen and felt the presence of his spirit, in those passages is warning us, how can you go back? How can you go back to just be filled and excited with the things of the world when you've tasted those heavenly things? When you've tasted that sweetness of that. There's a longing in my heart that's the worship songs. Oftentimes I'm just putting on worship song after worship song, but I know there's something more. I'm looking for that song that's just going to really connect my heart to His, and I think I'm not going to find that song until we're in heaven. And the worship that we're going to have there is just going to be that deeper, fulfilling, satisfying connection. And so there is the work of the Spirit again, making us sons and making us look and long for the Father. And again, it's not in our strength, it's not our efforts, and that it's Jesus's choice, the work that Jesus did, His obedience. And we see John 8:36, a short verse here. If the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. The strength of our relationship is not me. It's not our standing is in Jesus. It talks about it's not that we hang on to Him. It's not the strength of my grip. It's much more that He hangs on to me. And it's that strength of His grip that keeps me standing and keeps me going. And so with that, and the Son is the one that has the authority. He is the one sitting now at the Father's right hand. He is the one that can intercede for us. And so, you know, I can't make you free. But the Son has the authority to do that. We see that in Romans 8 here, 31 through 34. Kind of just this picture of the security and the confidence that we can have in this. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who's against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? He says that in Luke. The Father desires to give you His Spirit because He knows that will transform you. That's going to be the secret to living there. How will He not freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Do you catch that? Just that we were talking, some of us together last evening. The verse came up that if you know me and my sons know me, God gives grace to the humble, or God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. I drum that into that. My kids know that verse. The kids in the youth group, I hope, know that verse after the 6 years, because that's the key to everything. God is willing to give grace if you're humble, and that's what we need. But if you're going to be proud, God is going to resist you. And who is going to win a fight against God? You're really going to stand up with Him, to Him? You're really going to argue with Him? You're really going to say, my way is better than your way, God? And think you're going to win? Think you're going to outsmart Him? You're going to talk Him into something? Heavens no, God has done all of these things for us. God is for us. Amen. And look how He demonstrates that to us in giving His own Son, delivered Him over for that. Who's going to bring a charge against God's elect? Well, there is somebody. There's an accuser of the brethren who is more than likely, more than glad in other places and to sit on your shoulder and accuse you. Oh, look how you fell short. Look at what you did today. Oh, you made that promise and you didn't keep it and all of those things. But in contrast to that voice, there is Jesus sitting there, the one who could condemn us. The only one that could say among all of us, I remember the story, the woman caught in adultery. And all the people are ready to stone her, make an example of her, kind of putting Him to the test. You know, are you going to follow the law or not? You're going to do justice here. And His response is, Well, the one without sin, for throw the first stone. And they all start walking away, and it makes a note that the older ones walked away first. They were very sure that they had not lived a perfect life, that they had always met those standards. But there was one standing there that could have condemned her, that had no sin in his life. And he looks at her and says, "Neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more." Redeems her, gives her that second chance. And that's what this is verse is saying. The one that could condemn us, the one where we fall short of all the time, what has he done? He died for us, he rose for us, and he's sitting in heaven now waiting to return. And while he's doing that, he's interceding for us. Don't have to fear that. You don't have to listen to that enemy that's there to accuse and condemn us, to try to keep us in that bondage, the fear, the shame, and those things, because Jesus is there speaking up, and when he condemns us, Jesus raises his hand. No, that price has been paid. That's already been taken care of. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we get around to this at Galatians 5, 13 through 17. And back to this idea of freedom. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. We've looked at the last half of those verses a couple times, but the beginning of that again is it's the freedom that we're called to. It's the power that we have to not walk in the flesh that it does that. And all that we're really called to do there is to love one another. That's what the freedom is. It's not keep the commandments. It's not to keep the law. It's not the performance thing. Strive harder, more than that. Love is all that God requires of us. And I think with that love and experiencing that, he's not looking for a perfect heart from us. As the Holy Spirit comes and the Holy Spirit makes us holy, because that's what the Holy Spirit is, and what he brings to us is the ability, that power to live that loving life, not a self-centered life. He doesn't expect or call us to a perfect heart. I think he does call us to have a thankful heart. I owe it all to you, Jesus. And you have given me so much, so many opportunities, covered me so many times. And he also asks us to have an honest, a truthful heart. Psalm 51, you desire truth in the innermost being. To admit I'm not perfect. To admit that I need help. To admit that I fall short. And then I can come running to him, the Abba Father. Lord, I need your help. I need you today. To get on. That's what God is looking for. To embrace this new life, the freedom, the Spirit, the boldness of the joy that we have in Christ. To not return and go back, not to be frustrated. Talks about in due time we'll reap if we don't go weary. And I'd just like to close, and I actually, well, pretty much close. Somebody was telling you, a preacher that says they count 5 or 6 times, he'll say, "In conclusion," and sometimes I think I'm guilty of that, but this is the last scripture I've got, except for the benediction here. 1 John 4:10 through 18, or 10 and 18. "And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to pay the price for our sins, to take the burden of that. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. So that's the freedom that he's talking about here is again found in his love poured out to us, that he is for us. He is not here to condemn us. He's not here to find fault with us. But he's here to lift us up and to encourage us and to teach us and train us, and again, to take the time to guide us and help us to learn, and to learn how to walk in the fullness of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit, which does not come naturally to us at all. We have freedom from fear. And that can be a fear of the future. What's going to happen? A fear of death. Scripture talks about that. You know, what's the purpose of that? Or, boy, I've got to always be careful because what if I die? A fear of man. What are they going to think of me? Well, what's going to happen, you know, or that? The fear of the enemy. The only one we're told to fear in Scripture is God. Amen. He says, don't fear the one that can kill you, that can destroy your body. Fear the one that has the power to, after your body's been destroyed, is to cast you into hell when it's all said and done. But do we need to fear him? We need to respect him. We need to be honest with him. But again, he has done everything possible to rescue us and save us and make a way for us. It's not like he's there just waiting to pounce on us. Over and over again, we can come to him and receive his forgiveness. Over and over again, we can come and repent before him in that. And don't even have to make the promises, oh, I'm going to try harder next time. Because he knows, well, he forgets, so he doesn't know how many times you've been with the same repentance or the back with seeking forgiveness for the same things. How much God wants to bless us. How much he wants to smile on us. There are the warnings here, though, that you can't have it both ways. He calls you to put aside the things of the world, the things of the flesh. He promises to take care of all of those things. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Again, you don't have to fear those things. You don't have to stress about those things. God's promises of that. But you can't have both worlds, serve the flesh and serve God. What God wants for you, he's given you everything and everything you need, but he wants your heart. He wants to have that first place in the only place in your heart. Again, that openness to the Spirit where I cry out, where I long for him, where I know there's more of him that I have not experienced, and I'm seeking that. And he's so eager for us to find that and to more and more fall in love with him. So Sunday afternoon questions. How would you define freedom? And then the question with that, when you got the definition, are you free? And then what do you fear? Okay, the kind of deep questions here, a little vague questions today. And then the last, does God love you? Are you very, very convinced and experienced, have experienced that, the depth, the greatness of his love for you? That's his desire, to pour out that love for you. So the closing verse and kind of our benediction, we've been here before, Romans 5:5. And the hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this country, the freedoms that we have, the people who have given their lives and sacrificed and fought for our freedoms. We are blessed today that we can come and gather in your name and hear your word. We're blessed that we can be educated and be able to read and be able to travel and do so many things, Lord, to that. And you just call us to seek you, to look for you, Lord God. You just love us so much, you desire us, you want to be involved in our lives, you want to give us good things, you want to smile on us, you want to fulfill us, Lord, and satisfy us in that relationship with you. You want us to be lights in this world, to have that hope and that gospel message that the world so desperately needs. And you give us all of those things. And Lord, just for us to receive, just for us to believe the great, great love that you have, the price that you have paid for us. Lord, so help us walk this day in that freedom. Freedom of the fear, freedom of all the doubts, freedom from the accuser, Lord God, that we would be able to receive the love that you want to pour out in our hearts through your Holy Spirit. Because without your love, we're not going to accomplish anything. So Lord, we commit ourselves to you just with thanksgiving and praise this day. In Jesus' name then, amen.
Amen.